former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonantoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
You're watching the pregame power up on VSiN and DraftKings Network alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you. And every Sunday, we are getting you set for the NFL the best way we know how. The Sweat, the Lombardi Line, Brent Musburger's Countdown to Kickoff. 3 shows, 5 hours. It's all you can eat game day prep built for all in NFL fans. Thanks for hanging out with us this morning. For those of you watching on VSiN, remember you can find DraftKings Network on your smart TV. Just download the Roku channel, Samsung TV Plus, or Zumo Play. Very, very easy to find. And as I said off the top of hour one, Schönen NFL Sonntag. Happy NFL Sunday. And we have an interesting game going on over there in Germany. Just before we hit the break, Michael, we saw Kansas City force the fumble. Trent McDuffie, who, by the way, Casey got in the trade for Tyreek Hill with Miami. Trent McDuffie forces the fumble. Mike Edwards picks it up and little lateral over there to Brian Cook, who streaks down the sideline for another touchdown. 21-0 here for Kansas City with 18 seconds before the halftime break.
Yeah, I mean, that's a kick, right? And then Miami gets the ball with a little bit of time left, and they go three and out and can't get it back. So, look, you know, it's going to be an uphill battle for Miami. But remember, there was a Baltimore game last year, week two of the season, where they made that remarkable comeback. The thing with Kansas City has to do is keep trying to score. Right. That's one thing about Andy Reid. Andy Reid is very good at being able to keep his foot on the gas and being able to try to get it. And with Mahomes protecting the football and not making mistakes, they're not going to give the game back unless he does make one, which is rare. So, you know, you're going to have to look, you go in at halftime, the game 0-0. And if you're Andy Reid, you know, if we can get to 34, we're going to win the game. We got to get to 34, we'll win, right? Or 35, we'll win. But we can't go, we can't have empty possessions, and we can't give them the ball back, and we can't turn the ball over.
I wonder,
like, they fielded that punt. Like, for me, there's no reason to field that punt because you could only turn it over. So you're going to kneel it down when you come out with 8 seconds to go. So why would you field the punt? You give them a chance to get a cheap field goal, but they did and they held on to it. So there's those little things. Look, here's the thing that's funny. We're seeing, I mean, Travis Kelce has not had an influence in this game, and yet the Chiefs have 21 points already.
Yep, Travis Kelce, 2 catches for 7 yards. That is all at this point. But 21-0 lead. As far as it goes, though, for buying in on the live line, Michael, we do see Miami getting 17.5 points right now. You had interest in it at 9.5, now at 17.5, with the thought process of them having the opportunity to reset at halftime, get their offense together. We know at any point with the weapons that they have, Miami does, that they could put some points together, put some drives together. Is this a number that would be worth buying in on? Or is it kind of, okay, Kansas City, if they keep scoring, it's off to the races for them. Don't even bother. But 17.5 feels like, well, a really big number.
It really does. And I don't think Kansas City is going to keep trying. Kansas City is going to play two opponents in the start of the third quarter. They're going to play the Miami Dolphins in the clock, right? And then if we get to the fourth quarter at 21-0, the clock's their opponent. So they're going to try to balance it up. For me, with Miami, I mean, this is the second time. What, Philly held them to 12 first downs, right? Philly held them to 12 first downs in that game 2 weeks ago. And you could just see they're struggling. They'll make explosive plays, but they have not been able to really break down this Kansas City defense. They haven't been able to do it. And It seems to me like another game where, you know, when you look at Philly, held them to 244 yards and 17 points. You know, go back to Buffalo. Now, Buffalo, they moved the ball early in the Buffalo game, but they struggled to move it the rest of it. They only had 20 first downs in that game. So this is a game that's going to be hard for them. They got the bye week coming up. They go and play the Raiders at home. You know, I don't know. I mean, to me, this is one of those that are very challenging, and they have to be able to make an explosive play. And knowing that the way Kansas City calls their defense, it's going to be hard to do that, especially if they get pressure on Tua.
Yeah, we have historically, though, seen Kansas City take their foot off the gas a little bit in the second half when they have had big leads. So that 17.5, I feel like, is staring at me right now. Also, as far as just the second half number in general, Chiefs getting 5 and the second half total 24.5. And we'll continue to keep you monitored. Again, 21-0, our current halftime score. You mentioned Philly, big game in the NFC East today. Eagles laying 3 against the Cowboys, total 46. Two of the top scoring offenses in the National Football League go in head-to-head. Over his cash the last 5 meetings. Who do you like in round 1 of this home-and-home series in the NFC East?
I've gone back and forth. I think you could convince me on either team, right? You know, and look, Dak is very good. Dak Prescott's really good against the NFC East. He's 28-7. He's 20 against the straight up, and he's 25-10 against the spread. And he's the most profitable quarterback, the third most profitable quarterback against the spread in his own division. Only Rodgers and Big Ben. Okay, so he plays well here. Here's my concern about going all in on Dallas is when you look at Tony Pollard's numbers from this year to last year, it's dramatic, right? He was the change of pace back. He was the guy that did unbelievable. He made explosive plays. His longest run this year is 31 yards. You know, last year he had 9 touchdowns. This year he only has 2. I mean, everything that he's done this year has been downgraded. Now, is it the injury? We had Brian Broaddus on the show yesterday who covers the Cowboys down there for down there on his radio station, and he kind of felt like he's not 100%. But the one thing I do know about Dak and his ability to play against the East is he's got to be able to – they have to have a balanced attack. McCarthy's done a good job of – taking the pressure off his defense. One of the things I think, and I said this when they fired Kellen Moore and they went to McCarthy, wanted to call his own plays, everybody was outraged about it because, you know, McCarthy has a reputation for not being a very good play caller and he's not a good offensive mind, yada, yada, yada. But what he wanted to accomplish is he wanted to play less defense. He wanted to control the football. And he felt like if his defense could play less than he did last year, they played over 31 minutes last year. This year, they're down to 27. They control the pace of the game. And I think that's one of the keys why they've been successful. The problem is, can they run the ball on Philadelphia? Can they run the ball on Philly? I think that's going to be the only team that really has had success against Philly's offense, a defense, has been Washington, Stormy.
Yeah. The Cowboys 14-7 ATS on the road the last 3 seasons, second best road ATS record in the NFL. They've been able to cover numbers. And I similarly have gone back and forth on this game, Michael, because the Eagles have the best record in the NFL right now at 7-1. Has it been pretty? No. Have they found ways to win games week in and week out? Yes. So I kind of get the feel that I lean Philadelphia will find a way and win this game. But even at the field goal number, I'm not sure they get there. I wouldn't feel comfortable laying a number with Philadelphia. But in a close game, for me, that ended up just being a stay away type of a spot. Does Dak continue to find CeeDee Lamb the way he did last week? Because that connection was chef's kiss last week.
Oh, I think there's no question. You know, just I want to go back real quick. I just checked on something. When they played Baltimore in week 2, Miami Dolphins, they were down 28-7. They were down by 21. They won the game. They scored 28 points in the fourth to win the game. Now, I don't think the Kansas City's not a not score, but I just, you know, put it out there that I think you got to be really careful about that. Now, you know, when it comes to Philly, it's all about their front, right? It's all about their pressure rate. It's all about their ability to make your quarterback uncomfortable. Dallas's offensive line is typically usually pretty good. They haven't blocked as well this year in terms of the running game, nor in the pass protection. So can they protect well against this front with Carter, Cox, Davis, Hassan Riddick, all the players that they have on this front? Because you're going to make plays against Bradbury. You're going to make plays against their secondary. There's no question about that. Yeah. But do you have time to throw it? That's going to be the key. You know, CeeDee Lamb will have a good day. They're not going to cover CeeDee Lamb. But can they have enough time to throw the football effectively? That's going to be the challenge.
Huge game for the division. It's going to be fun. Now, we talk about this Dallas Cowboys team and what they did last week to the Rams. Came out on a mission after the bye. Matt Stafford today, as the Rams get set to play the Packers, not likely to play. Sean McVay called him a game time decision. All of the insiders saying he won't go. So with Brett Rippon in line to start in that line tells you what they think of Brett Rippon. Again, getting 3.5 points, total 39. First half's though, Michael, been awful for Green Bay. Can they get off to a faster start against this Rams team and hold on?
Well, I mean, look, the Rams have, you know, Rams don't turn the ball over, right? And they are a team that has a hard time protecting the passer with Stafford, who gets rid of the football, right? And when the Rams can't run the football, they struggle. They had 164 yards rushing against the Colts, 179 against the Cardinals, and 135 against Pittsburgh, a game that they probably could have won. And yet, you know, out of the other games, they can't run the football. That's where they get to a real problem. And this game, because of the way Green Bay's offense is, I mean, look, every time they hand the ball off Green Bay, they hand it off to A.J. Dillon, they're doing you a favor. I mean, if you take Love's runs out of Green Bay's rushing attempts, just take them out. You know, they have 137 carries for 155 yards. I mean, they average 3.3 a carry, and Dillon averages 3.1. And I just think, to me, the Packers can't, they're playing way too much defense. They're on the field for 88 more plays per game. And all this is because of their offense and their slow starts. They can't complete passes. Stormy, they're 31st in completion percentage.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I don't think this team, I mean, the Rams are not a team that is just going to roll over. I mean, they'll play hard. There's no question about that. Now, the problem is, do you trust Rippon? I don't. Rippon on the road in Lambeau Field, that'd be hard for me to play. To me, this seems like, if you get it at 3.5, it seems like it's the right play. It went to 4. It must have just come back down.
Yeah, let's remember this is Brett Rippon, not Mark Rippon, okay? So I understand what you're saying. It's, you know, it's a different thing when you have a young quarterback coming in, and the Rams have lost 8 in a row on the road. But Packers, you mentioned 31st in completion percentage, 27th in passer rating. Jordan Love been turning the football over a lot. I hope for Green Bay that they can get right in this game, because this feels like a gotta have it type of a game, especially when you hear the way that Brian Gutekunst talked in his press conference this past week. This final back end of the season is going to be really, really important for them figuring out the future of their team and what they have in their young quarterback, Jordan Love.
They can't lose at home to Brett Rippon.
Exactly. Exactly. We'll be right back on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
No better time of year to be a sports bettor. No better time to be a VSiN Pro subscriber. We have all the tools to help you prep for the college and pro games every single week. Sign up today. You'll get access to our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. We've got betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for each and every game, plus betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access. Sign up now. You'll get full VSiN Pro access to everything we do through May 1st. Only $120. Don't miss out, though. It's a limited time offer. VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up. That's also where you'll get all of our picks from all of our hosts and guests, Michael Lombardi's official plays here once we're done with the show. And we were talking off the top earlier, Michael, about how there are three big marquee games today. Obviously, Chiefs Dolphins, that's underway in Frankfurt, Germany right now. Chiefs with a 21-0 halftime lead, by the way. Eagles, Cowboys that we just discussed, and then Sunday Night Football coming up later, Bengals, Bills, Cincinnati's 1-3 start, throw it out, Joe Burrow is back, he is healthy, they have been on a roll, won 4 of their last 5 games, including 3 straight, and they're laying 2-ish against Buffalo, total 49. My question is, though, is this line a little trappy? Is this line a little bit trappy based on what we've seen from Buffalo recently and how Cincinnati has come on?
Yeah, I don't think it is. I mean, look, they have Josh Allen, and he's the equalizer of everything. Right now, just in fairness to Baker Mayfield, Baker Mayfield and Josh Allen are tied for the most interceptions of any quarterback since they've come out. They both have the same amount. But Josh Allen, when he wins, he typically wins by 7 points or more. And, you know, this will be a game where he's got to play his best, right? He's going to have to play at a high, high level. The thing that's different is the way Mixon ran the ball last week for Cincinnati, and the way the Bills are so small on defense. I mean, 15% of the runs that the Bills allow are explosive. And if they get Mixon going in this game, and Burrow is the way he's playing with his accuracy, his ability to run for first downs and move around the pocket, I think this Buffalo team is having a hard time to overcome these injuries. I mean, it's just Milano was so important to this team. He was so important. Daquan Jones as a three technique was so important to the team. Now, they signed Linville Joseph. That's to give them some more girth. But they're not a big team on defense. And if they play from behind and they can't play their nickel, I think they're trending in the wrong direction. So, look, I think the one thing you can't ever underscore is Josh Allen's ability to make plays.
Yeah, and I know he's been struggling with that shoulder injury, but I feel like every time we say Josh Allen's hurt, he comes out and does not look hurt. So keep that out of your mind. But you're dead on with the challenges that this defense has had to face, because Milano obviously was that heart and soul guy. He did so much for them at the linebacker position. You do bring in Linval Joseph and Russell Douglas at the trade deadline, trying to bolster up some of those missing pieces. You said Jones, but also Trey White, who's gone for the season. I feel like Cincinnati, because they've been putting it together in a different way. Like last week against the San Francisco 49ers, it was their best, most complete performance, all areas. The offensive line even played really, really well. I feel like they are just kind of clicking at the right time right now. We were talking off air earlier today about how Alabama feels like they're peaking at the right time coming off the win over LSU yesterday. That's how I feel about Cincinnati, is that at this midway point in the season, they've found it. They're healthy. And I feel fairly confident that as this line continues to move and they're 2.5-point favorite now, that they'll win and cover by a field goal.
You know, it just seems like these teams that peak, like, look at Alabama, what they've been able to do offensively with Milroe. You know, when Milroe started the season off, he was running and he wasn't looking down the field. Now he's looking down the field and they're able to get control of the game and he's making play. I mean, he made plays on third down that were the difference in the game. So it's all about improvement, right? It's all about how do you get your team better? How do you continue to fight through, stay close, and get your team better? And I think that's why the NFC South, where we don't know who's going to win because we can't find improvement with any of those teams. The Saints for real, because they got 511 yards against the Colts. That remains to be seen. Atlanta makes a change at quarterback. Are they for real? I mean, Atlanta's a good team defensively. They just can't turn the ball over. They can't, and they lose Grady Jarrett, which makes that even harder.
Yeah, that's another thing to keep an eye on today with the trade deadline passing, who performs on their new teams this week. But just to wrap up some thoughts here on Sunday Night Football, Bills have lost four straight against the spread coming into this game. These two teams have alternated wins and losses their last five. The most recent matchup was Cincinnati, of course, knocking the Bills out of playoff contention last year in the divisional round, 27-10, that final score. Let's talk about the Atlanta Falcons, though, Michael, because it's Taylor Heinicke stepping in. Desmond Ridder, obviously, while he had been making strides in the pass game in terms of getting the ball downfield, he also was just passing the ball to the other team too many times and dropping it in the red zone. Fumbling it in the red zone.
He was very giving. He was very giving. Yes, he was very giving.
Which you like off the field in a person, but on the field, could do without.
Yeah. Not when your career depends on it, right? You're getting ready to put the game away against Tampa Bay and you fumble going in the end zone. No, I don't think that's a good thing to do, right?
Not ideal.
But look, I mean, he's a young player. They went into the season with him. I think the other thing that's disappointing about Atlanta is their offensive line. And here's what I would say. Like, Atlanta's got to stop this. Like, we're not trying to get a varsity letter. You know, I know Algier's a great kid and he had a great year last year, but Bijan Robinson is your best player. Okay, I'm just going to put that out there. He's your best player. Give him the football. You know, and you got to start fast. I mean, Atlanta, you know, they don't score. They haven't scored. You know, they're 28th in points. And they're 14th in yards gained. They turn the ball over. Algier averages 3.2 a carry. And Robinson averages 5.1. I don't think it's really hard to do, you know. And their scoring is because they keep making mistakes. And if Heinicke is able to get this going where he doesn't make mistakes, I think they got a chance. But I do think, and just reading the tea leaves, I think Josh Dobbs does play eventually. If Jared Hall start off fast, I think Josh Dobbs will play.
Wow. Okay, that's an interesting statement.
They said he got reps on Thursday.
I was actually curious your opinion on what it said about Jaren Hall in the mind of Minnesota that they went out and signed a quarterback immediately at the trade deadline when they knew that Kirk Cousins wasn't going to be available. That to me was telling that he wasn't ready in their mind.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, all you got to do, one thing I learned about this industry that we work in is the numbers are fairly significant. I mean, when you look at quarterback, rookie quarterbacks making their first start, they're 38-70-1 straight up in the last decade, you know, and when they play on the road, they're 33-15. I mean, you know, you can go in there with a positive attitude and think everything's going to be okay, but those numbers over time aren't going to lie. It's going to be hard. Atlanta's not a hard place to play, but it is a dome. And, you know, you don't have Justin Jefferson. And the other problem for you, if you're Minnesota, you have no run game. You can't run the football effectively. And so the burden and what they were able to accomplish this year really was on Kirk Cousins because he was playing so well. He was carrying this team. And because of the injuries, the injury to him, he can't carry it anymore. So how do you compensate for losing him, right? How do you compensate for that if you're Kevin O'Connell? You can't. You got to try to run the ball. You got to try to run. You can't put it in. Jared Hall's not going to do what Kirk Cousins did. It's just not going to happen. So that's what makes it really hard. And I think eventually they're going to have to put Dobbs in the game to get some kind of passing game. I mean, this team averages, I know they went from Dalvin Cook to Madison. They're 31st in rushing attempts. That's important. They don't try to run the ball because they know they can't. They're 31st in yards. They're 31st in touchdown runs. And they're 29th in yards per attempt. And where were they on offense? Number one in passing attempts. Nope. Number 7th in yards per attempt. That's all Kirk Cousins.
Well, yeah, Kirk Cousins was like 100 yards behind Tua Tagovailoa for the most passing yards in the NFL, tied with him with 18 touchdown passes. Why? Because there are no rushing touchdowns. It's not something that they were able to capitalize on. Also, an interesting thing about Minnesota this year, and who would have thought, based on what we saw from this team a year ago, 7-1 to the under. And I know this is a low total game, 37, two rookie quarterback. I mean, this is going to be not rookie quarterbacks, but two backup quarterbacks in the spot. This line, with it moving around as much as it has, 3.5 to 5 to 3.5, now it's back up to 4. I feel like because of the turnovers from Desmond Ridder, Taylor Heinicke is an upgrade. I liked it more at 3.5 than I do at 4, but I would still, I think, feel comfortable laying it with Atlanta if they can just get the ball in the hands of their weapons, right? Like, the fact that this team is averaging 17 points per game is criminal.
Well, we keep saying that, and yet we all know team building, when you build around receiving cores, it doesn't work, right? We've seen that. That's what happened to the Raiders. I mean, Arthur Smith is 10-10 straight up as a head coach. He's 6-14 at home against the spread, right? And so, I mean, he's 10-10 at home straight up. He's 6-14 against the spread. And so when you're a head coach of a dome, you should have a bigger advantage, but he's not been very good. He has the worst home ATS percentage in the wild card era. Think about that. You know, think about that. That they have not been able to do really get that thing going at home. So I think they've overvalued their offensive line, because the one thing is they turn the ball over too much on offense, whether it's interception or fumbles, and then they can't create turnovers with their defense.
All right, we got to step aside here on the Lombardi line. You mentioned the Raiders. We will discuss that game against the Giants coming up after this quick break. We're also going to get Michael's top 10 teams in terms of his power rankings, as well as his top quarterbacks in the NFL right now. So much more to come this final half hour. Don't go anywhere. This is the Lombardi line on your NFL Sunday pregame power up for DraftKings Network and VSiN.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
College basketball tips off tomorrow, so now's the time to make sure you get your copy of our annual betting guide. This year's guide includes Matt Heumann's top 25 rankings, who could be this season's Florida Atlantic or San Diego State, all 32 conferences previewed, Wooden Award candidates, futures, and season-long prop bets. The only way, though, to get the guide is by joining us full-time as a VSiN Pro subscriber. You can sign up for just $120. That gets you VSiN Pro access to everything we do until May 1st. All college basketball season, March Madness, and beyond for only $120. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. Excited for college hoops to be underway, don't get me wrong, but we got other things to talk about today on an NFL Sunday. Week 9 already underway out there in Germany. Chiefs still leading 21-0, but the Dolphins with the ball now, trying to make something happen on the comeback trail. Let's talk, though, about the one game we haven't gotten to this point. And Michael, it's the Raiders. I know we thought that this line line might ultimately end up flipping. It did not. Raiders laying 1.5 at home against the Giants, total 37. And for them, it's obviously a short week, had turmoil losing their general manager, head coach, and offensive coordinator. So first time that Antonio Pierce will be coaching this group in the interim. Daniel Jones will be available on the other side. Brian Daboll saying he'll have no limitations, does not get Darren Waller, and then Aiden O'Connell getting the start for the Raiders. General thoughts about this one today.
Well, look, I mean, Daniel Jones back should help, and it depends on where that offensive line is. Both Neal and both tackles, actually, for the Giants were both Andrew Thomas and Neal were both questionable, didn't practice, but they're expected to play, you know. And the Raiders have struggled against a good back, right? They've struggled. They, you know, against Chicago, Chicago ran the football. That was a lethargic effort. It was really bad. I think that was the reason why McDaniels got fired. That team played so flat against a rookie quarterback. So, you know, this game, there'll be some life with the Raiders. You can feel it, you know, but against Don Martindale, when you're watching him and you're seeing, you know, he's going to come after the quarterback and he's going to make plays against the quarterback. He's going to blitz the protections. He's going to force O'Connell, who we saw in Los Angeles, hold the ball too long. That's going to be a big challenge. And, you know, the Raiders have got to get something going offensively on the ground. That's really what has struggled for them all year. They haven't had a 100-yard rusher. They ran the ball effectively against Detroit, but it was too late. Look, they haven't gotten good quarterbacking play all season, whether it was Jimmy, O'Connell, or anybody. It's going to be harder today because the Giants have played really good defense against Washington, against Buffalo, and last week against the Jets, even though they were on the field all the time. I mean, it was a punting convention. They played good defense. I'm surprised the line hasn't moved towards the Giants. I mean, this is really a lack of respect for the Giants. And the Giants are in that, oh my God, we can't lose this game. We can't lose this game. Remember, the Raiders lost to Jeff Saturday in the park last year. You know, they couldn't. And that kind of set their program way down. It really did. You know, and this is one of those where Daboll's got to have, you know, he's sitting there saying, I got to win this game. And that's going to be a challenge.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of curious. Like, what does it say about the Giants if they don't win this game? But from the Raiders side of things, like, we have seen that week one pop. And granted, it's been pretty 50-50 when you actually look at the numbers. 35 teams have fired their head coach since 2003. The following week, 16-9 straight up, 19-16 ATS. So it's about a 50-50-ish shot about whether or not that team is going to come out and get the win. But for the Raiders, we're hearing the stories about kind of the, you know, newfound energy, I guess, because this is a team that could have been going through a funeral, but they're playing music. The NWA straight out of Compton, given Pierce's background as a Raiders fan when he was in his youth. They've got a basketball hoop in the locker room. Guys are, you know, just talking about this. And granted, if things don't go well this week, that's probably going to go down a little bit. But the energy at least seems to be there for that week one pop. So I wonder if for a Raiders team that has been an under team, specifically team totals 8-0 to the under this season, could they get a little bit of an offensive boost this week in particular, just because there is kind of that newfound energy vibe around the program?
Well, I mean, look, let's go back. Miami scored 31 on them, on the Giants, right? They scored 31. Miami only had 22 first. I mean, they struggled in the game. Miami turned the ball over three times. They come back and play a really good Buffalo team. Buffalo scores 14 at home. They play Washington. Washington scores 7. We saw what Washington did to Philly, you know, and then they played the Jets and it took 13 points in overtime. So I don't know where there's a formula for the Raiders to all of a sudden become explosive and score. You know, that's not, you know, I mean,
yeah,
you know, Seattle scored 24 against the Giants. But remember, that was a pick six in that. So that's 17. Yeah. I don't see it. I really don't. I mean, where is the Raiders all of a sudden going to get this with a rookie quarterback? All of a sudden, they're going to start playing really good defense. I mean, they're going to have a hard time blocking the front here. You know, Dexter Lawrence will be a problem for them to block in the run game. Look, I get the Raider players feel a sense of relief. I completely see that. You could see they got the basketball hoop. Everybody's, you know, it was obviously a lot of pressure on that those players, because from the minute Josh McDaniels got there, everybody was counting the days till he was fired. So you could just see it. I mean, last year they were in a lot of close games and they couldn't win them. And I think ultimately that's what's happening all the time here. And there is a sense of relief when you get it. But the game comes down to execution. Can they execute and can they handle this blitz package that they will see? It's a little bit like Minnesota. If you like Minnesota today, you're saying that Taylor Heinicke will struggle against Brian Flores when he's bringing pressure.
The one area offensively where I do think slash hope that the Raiders have success today is with the Aiden O'Connell to Devontae Adams connection. Because I was diving into...
You do. So does Bill Berman. You have them in the fantasy league. Everybody's hoping for that, right?
Well, and I bet Devontae Adams prop over 71.5 yards. I bet him at plus 180 to have an anytime touchdown today. He hasn't scored since week three, which also coincidentally is the last time he had a 100-yard game. But you look at the game that Aiden O'Connell played against the Chargers. He targeted Adams 13 times. He had 8 catches for 75 yards. Giants defense, we talked about a lot of their strengths and what they have done well, but they have struggled against wide receiver ones. And if you look through some of the big performances against opposing wideouts, CeeDee Lamb, granted, I know we throw out a lot from that Cowboys game, but in the opener had a day. Debo Samuel, 129 yards, a touchdown. Tyreek Hill, 181 yards, a touchdown. Stephon Diggs, 100 yards. Terry McLaurin, Garrett Wilson with Zach Wilson as his quarterback, mind you, 100-yard day. So that's the one connection I'm looking for. And I mean, Devontae Adams, I know, specifically said AP has him feeling like he's going to run through a wall, referencing Antonio Pierce in this spot. So maybe I can get a Devontae Adams pop, at least from that standpoint.
I think you will. I definitely think you will, because they're going to focus their offense around it. And I think, to me, is they will change. They will run the McDaniel offense, but I think they will be a little bit more outside of the box. I mean, the one thing about the Raiders, they played very conservative. Every time I watch Raider games, it was like they were trying to make sure the quarterback didn't beat them.
Yeah.
And sometimes that ends up beating yourself. You become so conservative as a play caller that you don't give yourself a chance to win. And I think you'll see a little bit of a difference in there. They've got to get the ball to Adams. And Martindale knows that, right? Martindale knows they got to get the ball to him. And so you'll see a lot of is these tear screens, bubble screens, to try to avoid them from getting home when they have to make a play.
Michael, let's get to your top 10 teams in the power rankings. Not a lot of movement in the top six from a week ago, but in your article earlier this week, you said you felt like your numbers for Cincinnati and Jacksonville may be a little too low, Buffalo a little too high given their injuries.
Well, I think, to me, the problem you have when you're doing numerical studies on these power rankings of teams is, you know, the last 4 weeks, you don't have a chance to really to handle it. So, you know, if you could get the stats from 4 weeks to 4 weeks to 4 weeks, Miami just scored to make it 21-7, Stormy. So this is going to be a key drive here for the Kansas City Chiefs coming out here as they start, because that's going to, you know, there's 4 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, in the third quarter. There's 19 minutes to go in the game. Again, I think 34 wins the game. I think 31 still wins the game. But I think what happens is when you take the full 8 games of the season, or 7 in Cincinnati, Buffalo, you're getting a lot of games that are no longer, you're not the same team. They're players that are not playing in those numbers that reflect the numbers. And so I think you have to be careful. Like Buffalo, I think, is too high. Cincinnati's too low. I think Jacksonville, which is interesting, they're not in here, but they should be in here. And it's not because they had a bad start to the season. They really haven't. I think Jacksonville's a really good team, and they've played much better defensively than they did earlier in the year.
That touchdown that you referenced there, Michael, 31 yards to Cedric Wilson. The extra point is good. So 21-7 with 4:47 remaining in the third quarter. We talked about Miami earlier getting 17.5 on the live line. I'm trying to see. My computer's not loading right now. I'll get what the updated number is in a moment, because my computer doesn't want to cooperate. But
I have that up. That's 12.5, that number.
12.5. So I think probably... Yeah. I don't know that that's as viable when you had 17.5 as an option. So we suggested taking it then, but now Kansas City, you know, obviously backs against the wall a little bit now here, want to continue to produce and put up points. They are your top rated team in the NFL right now, remaining at number one. And you have the Ravens at 3 as your second best team in the AFC. They have a tough contest today against the Seattle Seahawks. When we return here on the Lombardi Line, as we close out hour 2, we're going to run the board. Michael's going to give his thoughts, leans on every single game in action today, as well as the official plays. So stick around. We're closing out the Lombardi Line when we come back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this week, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code VSIN when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Thanks for hanging out with us on DraftKings Network and VSIN. Time to run the board on the Week 9 NFL slate. Michael, we're going to get your leans and opinions on every single game, starting with the 10 a.m. portion of the day. In Baltimore, the Seattle Seahawks getting 6.5 points against the Ravens, total 44.5. What are you looking at?
You know, this is one of those games where it feels like a trap, Stormy. It just feels like a trap. Like, for me, like I don't understand how, you know, like, I think Seattle's a good team. I really do. I think they've played better defensively. Geno hasn't thrown the ball as accurately as he has in the past, but I do think they're a good team. They play well on the road for Pete Carroll. They're a competitive team. Walker can run the ball if he's healthy today. So, for me, I would take the 6.5. I don't understand why there's so much. I think Baltimore's a really good team, and they're hard to play. But to me, I think you got to take the 6.5. I know it's on the road. Lamar's very good against the NFC, but he doesn't cover against the NFC. Yep. And if they can get through the first quarter here, which is where the Ravens do most of their damage, then it becomes a different game.
Bees in the trap. Bees in the trap. Yes, I agree with all of that thought process. I do have the Ravens in a teaser. Just win, baby. That's all I need. And improve to 18-0 against the NFC, Lamar Jackson. But the cover, I think that's very much so in play for the Seattle Seahawks. Chicago in New Orleans taking on the Saints. Saints coming off a really good, productive day. Can they do it again with a big number, though?
Yeah, I don't know. I can't take the Saints and lay the points here. I can't. I got to take Chicago. Figure like Tyson Bagent will do a decent job. To me, I think they have to kind of do that. You know, I think they can hold the Saints down. The Saints won't be able to run the ball. Now, James Hurst is going to play left tackle. That'll certainly help the Saint offense because they need that. But for me, I think that they've got to be able to just slow the pace of the game down. 9.5 points is a ton of points. And I just feel like, to me, you got to take the Bears. It'll be ugly, but you got to take the Bears in the game and feel like if they can create a turnover here or there, they got a chance to cover the number. Whether they win or not, I don't know.
Yep, total in that one as well, 42.
How did they not call roughing on that pass out to Mahomes going out of bounds? I mean, he usually gets that call 5 times out of 5.
Michael, and I think Mahomes just turned it over as well, so we'll have to keep an eye on that one. But it looks like sack fumble there on the play. Ah, that's not what we need, because one of Michael's official plays today is Kansas City. I'm sweating out a money line ticket. Do not want to give Miami life at this point. The Cleveland Browns.
I got to turn her off. I can't watch anymore. Okay, let's go. I'll turn it off.
The Cleveland Browns laying a big number, 13 points, hosting the Arizona Cardinals. Big spread in a low total game of 38 with Deshaun Watson starting.
You know, at 7.5, it was such a great play. I don't know how you can take Clayton Tune. How are they going to move the football? The numbers say they can't move the ball. But the one thing we do know about the Browns offensively is they will turn the ball over. You know, they will turn it. Even though the Cardinals are 14.8 pressure rate in the league, they don't do a very good job with that. They do turn the ball over. So for me, I'll probably take the 13.5. How do you not take 13? You know, how do you not take 13, especially there's a bunch of injuries on the Browns? I mean, you know, they may not have a few players in the game. I know Newsom has a groin. I don't think he's dressing for the game. There's a bunch of other injuries that they'll pull guys out and you'll get a backdoor cover. I don't like the game at all. I wouldn't recommend it. At 7.5, it seemed too good to be true.
Yep. From one rookie quarterback to another, the Minnesota Vikings will be starting the rookie out of BYU, Jaren Hall. Josh Dobbs available, waiting in the wings as well, getting traded over from Arizona. Atlanta, meanwhile, starting Taylor Heinicke instead of Desmond Ridder, laying 4 points, the total 39.
I'm going to take the Vikings here only because I think the Vikings defensively will play well. Atlanta doesn't turn the ball over with their defense, and that's where Minnesota gets in the most trouble. How they're going to score, I don't know. I really don't know how Minnesota's going to score. I think that's going to be problematic for them. But look, the one thing about the Falcons, they don't play great. They don't cover at home. And I think Brian Flores will really help them in terms of creating field position for their offense.
Houston was laying 2.5 last week against Carolina, ended up losing straight up. Same number this time hosting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, total 40. Can Stroud and company get back on track?
Yeah, but the Bucs are one of my plays. I like the Bucs today. I don't know if they'll win the game, but I think three's too many. I think these are two even teams. I think if you just put the two quarterbacks and looked at them and said, okay, who's the better quarterback, and did a blind test, you're not sure which one to pick, right? So, and you could make plays on this Houston defense. I think that's going to be the key to the game. I'm going to take the Bucs. I think it'll be a close game. One thing about Houston that cannot get overlooked, they're very good in the kicking game. That's where they find ways to win games.
We're not used to seeing this season the New England Patriots laying points, but laying a field goal against the Washington Commanders, who just offloaded two of their biggest defensive talents in Montez Sweat and Chase Young at the deadline. Total 40.5. Can Washington put it together without their stars?
I think I would take Washington points here just because I think it's good. New England's not going to blow anybody out. It's going to be a close game, whether it's the Jets, they won by 5, whether it's the Buffalo Bills, who they won by 3. You know, look, Washington can move the football. And one thing we do know about the New England offense, they are prone to turn it over. Even though Washington doesn't force turnovers, you know, they are prone to turn it over. I mean, that's going to be the key. And can Mac Jones make plays as a favorite? We know this. They average 6.2 yards per attempt. They have not been very good in that category.
Jordan Love been turning it over a lot as well. He and the Green Bay Packers laying 3.5 points against an LA Rams team likely without quarterback Matthew Stafford, with Brett Rippon in tow. Is this the game that the Packers need to and will win and cover?
They have to. You've got to take the Packers here. I mean, you got Rippon. You know, the Rams can't really run the football. The Rams' offensive line has struggled. The one thing the Packers have is a decent defensive front. You know, Rashard Gary got paid a ton of money. Preston Smith, they're playing at home. I mean, if you can't take the Rams, as much as you love, yeah, as much as you love Sean McVay, you can't take the Rams. You know, you just can't. I got Big Daddy today on the couch. I mean, he's going to be complaining from 101 to 401 the entire afternoon. I love it.
We got three short spreads in the afternoon. The Carolina Panthers getting 2 at home against the Indianapolis Colts. Total 45. Can Carolina get 2 in a row, Michael?
You know, everybody is on Carolina. I mean, the sharps, the pros, the steam, everything says Carolina. I don't see it. I mean, everybody says they got better offensively last week. I'm still like they were better. I'm still waiting to see it. I like Young. I like Bryce Young a ton. I think he's really good. And I think he'll be able to move the ball. This Colt defense has not played well. And if anything at all, Gus Bradley should know what gives Frank Wright trouble. You line up in a bare front, you take away the edges in the run game. Look, Miles Sanders has been a disaster for Carolina's signing. He hasn't done anything. Chuba Hubbard's the best running back. I'm going to take the Colts here. I'm going to go against everybody here and take the Colts. Everybody loves the Panthers. I know, yeah, it's their Super Bowl because of Wright coming back, but the Colts can move the football on everybody.
Frank Reich would certainly like to exercise those demons. Not sure he will. Like I said, I have the Colts in the contest this week as well. Huge one in the NFC East. Who do you like in round one of Cowboys, Eagles? Eagles laying 3, total 46.5.
I'll take the Eagles here just because they're playing home, and I think it's going to be hard for the Cowboys to run the football. That's where the game comes down to. I'll take the Eagles. I think it'll be hard for the Cowboys to run the ball, and, you know, these games are always tight, so, you know, why not? You know, it'll be a field goal game. I'll take the Cowboys. I was hoping the line would move in a direction to go the other way, and it hasn't. It's just stuck at 3. But this Eagle defense, other than the Washington games, this Eagle defense has been very good.
Antonio Pierce, first game as interim head coach for Vegas. Aiden O'Connell getting the start against the Giants and Daniel Jones. Total 38, Raiders favored.
Well, look, you got to, you know, always when there's that shift, there's that change. The line's telling you something. How are the Giants not favored in this game? With a rookie quarterback, a new coach, all those things, I'll lay the points with the Raiders only because of that. I mean, there's something fishy here that doesn't meet the eye. I think it'll be a low-scoring game. That total at 38 is interesting. Look, Daniel Jones will run the football on the Raiders. The Raiders are slow on defense, no matter how you look at it. And the thing about this game is if they hit Daniel Jones and he gets hurt again, you're looking at another Tommy DeVito game.
Sunday night, big one in the AFC. Bengals laying 2.5 against Buffalo. Total 50.5.
This is my official play. I like the Bengals today. I'm going to go with Joe Burrow, just like I like Patrick Mahomes in this game this morning. That was one of my official plays. I took it on Chris Russo on Friday. You know, anytime you get Patrick Mahomes and lay under a field goal, you do it. I think same thing with Joe Burrow.
All right, so officially, we are sweating out this Chiefs game minus two. You got Joe Burrow.
Yes, we are both sweating it out.
Joe Burrow and the Bengals minus two. Also taking the Tampa Bay Buccaneers plus the three. Shop around because threes are still out there in Seattle now that they've gotten that hook, plus 6.5. So have a good betting day, everybody. I certainly hope. We are sweating out so much right now.
What happened in the game, Stormy? I turned it off. The Dolphins, did they score?
No, it's still 21-7 right now. First and 10, new set of downs. Man, this one's going to come to... Nothing can
be
easy,
Michael.
We're going
to sweat it out before Stormy.
Nothing can be easy. Stay tuned, though. The Sunday pregame power-up rolls on next. Brent Musburger's countdown to kickoff.